It's time to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is Unfiltered and Unfettered, the podcast. I am Tony the Bully Opinionist with my Christmas time New Year's humble co-host, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One, Kiss the Ring. Fran, Happy New Year. Good evening.
Happy New Year. Good to be in studio in the new year, kicking things off.
1-1-2014, my friend.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to be back on so soon, but too much going on. Got to be back. Got to get back on the airwaves.
There's a lot we'd like to talk about, yeah. And some inconsequential things, but some fun things that we can talk about, too. But some big happenings, again, on Obamacare, and I believe in your one blog post you said, we're just going to stop apologizing for talking about it, because it's just there.
Yeah. And I had said before, I think, in a post before that, that I'm just tired, man. I'm weary from talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And then something happened on New Year's Eve, and just we're going to have to talk about it tonight because it's huge.
And we're going to have to kick that off. So to get to that, let's go ahead and get started with, by the way, Season 2, Episode 29?
Is it 29 or Episode 1 of Season 2?
Season 2, Episode 1?
I don't know.
How do we do that, Francis?
I didn't think we'd be on this long. I never thought about it.
All right, let's kick this off.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
All right, Francis, something of personal value to me. It's the end today. The end of the 60-watt bulb. The end of the 60-watt incandescent bulb.
Well, is it just, I meant to ask you this before, is it just 60-watt bulbs, or is it all
Well, they've already done away with 75. No, not all incandescents, but 60-watt is the most popular incandescent bulb, and so it's illegal, I think, to make them or sell them now. Anyways, as I showed you before the podcast, I have spent the last week scouring West Knoxville and parts unknown for a stash of 60-watt bulbs.
Using studio property to store your illegal... Your illegal booty.
So if you come to visit now, I have a form that you have to fill out to determine whether you're bulb worthy, whether I'm going to burn a 60 water on you.
These bulbs went out of style for me a long time ago. I switched. I was an early switcher. And dude, they work. They work.
The end of the 60 watt. Oh, my goodness. All right, next. Fran, let's go with a little NFL predictions. We got Saturday, we got Kansas City at Indianapolis. New orleans at Philadelphia. What's your pick?
The Kansas City game, I think, is easy. They've not beaten anyone good this year. Every time they play a good team, they lose. I'm taking Indianapolis at home.
I'm taking Indy.
And then the Saints coming to Philly. It's going to be freezing cold. It's going to be a lot of snow. I like my Eagles to...
New Orleans is not a good road team.
Yeah, not a good road team. I like my Eagles to win that game, which I would consider being upset. I think New Orleans is probably a better team. And I'm a born and raised Eagles fan, but I think Eagles are upset that one.
I'll go with you on that. Sunday, we got the... San Diego at Cincinnati, and San Francisco at Green Bay.
San Diego cheated, all right? They got in on the cheat. They're going to lose that game spectacularly big. And then what was the second game?
San Francisco at Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay wins because it's going to be -3 by halftime.
I'm going with Green Bay, even though I think San Francisco is the better team. Yeah. I think I could be wrong on that, but I'll go with Green Bay. I'm going with San Diego.
All right.
You know what? Cincinnati... They're just up and down. They just, you know, that's my division. Yeah. That's the, you know, AFC North.
They've just been quietly building a good resume this year.
They are a good team. I won't take that away from them, but they're a little up and down sometimes.
Well, if what the Twitterverse refers to as Bad Andy shows up, Dalton, the quarterback for Cincinnati, it could go bad for Cincinnati. That's true. But they've beaten some quality teams. So we'll see what happens.
All right. You got any Super Bowl predictions yet? I'll make mine.
All right. Let's hear yours. Go ahead.
I'm going with Denver and Seattle. That's common. That's a common pick.
Yeah, you know, I'm going with New England. I know you hate that. And Belichick's going to be coach of the year.
Well, you know, it's hard to pick against Belichick and Brady. Look what he's done.
I mean, they've had no one this year. Their best wide receiver sitting in a jail cell. Their second best broke his arm and has got some kind of crazy disease. I mean, they just have won games.
I just think for Manning, it's a little bit of season of destiny, I think.
He's a freaking machine right now. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But I like New England there, and I'm going to, you know, I'm a homer.
I'm going with the Eagles here,
and here's why: because teams that have done what they've done wind up in the Super Bowl. You know, Tony Dungy kind of alliterated this the other night on Sunday Night Football, the last game of the season, that the way the Eagles got in, if you look at the teams that have gotten in that way, they usually end up in the Super Bowl. Whether they win or not is a whole other discussion. So I'm picking.
That's a good pick. That would be. I would put the Eagles and the Seahawks.
You know, the NFC is other than Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, the Eagles and the Seahawks in the championship game. That would be Green Bird versus Green Bird.
Yes, it would.
And that would be odd.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't disrespect the Philadelphia pick, but I still think the Seahawks got something going on.
They're no doubt the best team in the NFC. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But as Dungy said. You don't want these Eagles in the first round. You just don't want them. I mean, because
they are good.
Now
no
it's
doubt.
Any given Sunday. Now we're on any given Sunday.
Shady
time.
McCoy.
Yeah, and this Chip Kelly turns out to be a
Foles
good. Look, man, I was the first one to say it. 8-8 would have been a great goal for the Eagles, getting a new coach. Had quarterback issues. They had a big race issue kicking off the season with Riley Cooper,
who turned out to be a pretty damn good wide receiver.
And most of the African American players stuck up for him. And they ended up 10-6. I mean, and they won a division. I mean, that's pretty impressive for a first timer for Chip Kelly. Everyone said his system wouldn't work in the NFL. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know my Browns wound up with a good season, and we just tossed the baby out with the bathwater.
You know, I was looking through old scripts and cleaning out the folders, and we did a story on them when they were on a little bit of a run. I forget what it was.
I don't.
That quickly died on the vine.
You just. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, you just can't say anything to hurt me anymore. It just doesn't matter, you know? It's low expectations. Well, if you ever read Charles Krauthammer talking about watching the Washington Nationals, it's kind of the same thing. You know, we can get so excited over a first down. Right. It's just we live for that, right? Well, forget about winning the game.
But people start doing the woe is me business about their teams. I always think about you like... Until you've been a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you can't talk.
You got nothing unless you've been a Browns fan. All right, next. But before we go next, you heard it here first on Unfiltered and Unfettered. We're going to make picks every week. All right, next. All right, and I think we'll be doing a podcast next week unless my trip to Colorado comes through, Francis. Green Wednesday, the legalization of marijuana in Colorado.
Not marijuana, of... recreational marijuana.
Well, is there any other kind?
Well, no, yes.
There's medicinal.
This is
it's recreational marijuana.
I don't have an issue with this particular moment. I feel uneasy about the future. Like, this feels like this might be a large shift in our culture. And I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. I say I'm not a fan, but I bring them up all the time. But I'm not a fan of slippery slope arguments. But I don't know. The state voted it, so I have no issue with it. The people of the state of Utah voted it in, and they have every right to do so, and they did it. Not Utah, Colorado.
Colorado,
So I don't know. I just don't know. But this is bigger. This is a bigger deal than the medicinal stuff. This is anyone can walk in and buy. You don't need a permit,
right?
Like you did
you just
when you
can't.
Had...
You can't do it in public, I think.
Is that the case? You can't walk around smoking like a cigarette.
Yeah, I think they got a couple things, but you know they already got. I was reading a thing today that a limo service is already offering this thing where you can fly in and rent a limo. They will take you to the place, make suggestions, have some samples, and then they'll drive you around. While you toke up.
Right, because you can't take it back, right? Like, it's not like...
You can't take it out of
Georgia,
the state.
You can't take it out of the state, right?
You can't take it out of the state, right. You can't fly out of the state with it. Now, are they checking every car that leaves Colorado? I don't know. That's what I thought of.
Well, that's true. Right. Well, in the Knoxville News Sentinel today, there was a story of two guys from Georgia who drove all night to be online as soon as the store opened.
Right.
They went to the one in Denver. And so, you know, I'd be looking for them on I-85 just to see, you know, hey, well, hey fellas, what you got there?
Well, but even then, in a lot of states, it's like now if you've got an ounce or less, I mean, it's a misdemeanor, basically. So,
well, let me tell you, I'm from Jersey where you weren't even allowed to have sparklers as far as we're talking fireworks.
Right.
So when I came here and realized that there are warehouses bigger than malls with fireworks, I didn't go buy a pack of firecrackers, dude. I bought a trunk load of stuff.
Right.
If I'm driving all the way to Colorado, I'm not. Oh, yeah. I'm not coming back with an ounce. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I agree. I'm just saying.
You know, we're going to be talking about bricks. You know what I mean? So,
All right, Green Wednesday in Colorado. We'll see how that turns out. Some people are saying it's the doomsday. I disagree.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, Fran. MSNBC, our favorite news station. Mocked Mitt Romney's black adopted grandson. What's your take?
I used to like this channel. I used to watch it. They used to have some good people on there. They've systematically gotten rid of these people. Or these people have systematically gotten rid of themselves. You know, like, so as we've reported over a couple people who've left that station, they just wantonly degraded Mitt Romney's family because he happens to be the patriarch of the family.
Right.
Like, because because it's his family, then it's okay to mock these kids. And it so happens they're basically doing a funny pictures of the year sketch.
Well, they probably wouldn't have mocked him if he was a Democrat or something like that. Do you think that they would have?
God, no.
No.
No way. Right. No way. Yeah. I mean, does anyone think otherwise? That never even... And that's the funny part. That never even came up because no one even... why would you have to ask that question? That's just silly.
Right.
Of course they wouldn't. If that was Nancy Pelosi's gigantic family,
no.
Yeah. If that was Harry Reid's gigantic family, first of all, because he'd show up in the fucking studio and knock him right in their mouth.
Right.
I mean, this has got me incensed, man. I'm like, the guy, and part of it is, and let me for clarity's sake, I have a lot of friends who adopt children. That's heinous what they did to that picture, and laughing, just mocking this. Oh, look, and here's what they said, just so we can be clear. They were doing a funny pictures of the year bit. They had a comedian and some other analyst, and then Melissa Harris Perry, who's the host. They throw up a picture, caption this, and they get to a picture of Romney and his whole family for Christmas. On Romney's lap is his adopted grandson, who happens to be black. Oh, that's just like the Republican Party. And then the girl, the analyst, starts humming the word, and then starts singing, which one of these things doesn't belong?
Right. Which one of these things is not like the other?
Right, but the following line of that, which one of these things doesn't belong, she wouldn't say it. Are you kidding? I mean, this could be an Are You Kidding Me sketch. I mean, like, and it took them days. I mean, the avalanche was full and complete. Even CNN jumped on them. I mean, it took up 2 days of news. Of course, granted, it's a slow news time. But the irony of this, I mean, I can't even get it out. I mean, this station rails on people who do things like this all the time. They castigate people constantly. And they do this and no one thought to say, hey... But
wait a minute.
You're making fun of that black kid. And then, of course, the apologies come, and we've talked about the non-apology apology. Well, I'm sorry that you got offended, that you're such a weak-minded fool that you were offended by that.
Right.
But so sorry, you know, I mean.
Right. The non-apology apology, which is, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm not really sorry that I said that.
Right, right. And that was almost Melissa Harris Perry's apology, you know, and she tweeted it out. So that, you know.
Right.
That makes it sincere.
That's what I've heard about it. Was that, you know?
And she hashtagged herself, and so she took a lot of guff for that too because she hashtagged herself, you know. And it was just.
I mean, I am just such into the habit of kind of almost dismissing anything MSNBC says is any kind of a credible.
Yes, that's true. But when you hold yourself up as somehow the moral standard,
yeah.
And then, because again, I'm not a fan of this tag, the liberal elite, because generally the people who say that are conservative elitists who went to the same schools.
Right.
But when you hold yourself up to be smarter, to be more intellectual, and someone comes to you and says, hey, that was offensive, and instead of doing the intellectual thing, saying, really, let me think of it, they immediately go into defense mode,
right.
Like the various people they accuse all the time of being racist. I just, you know, it's... The irony is so big, you can't even describe it.
In some ways, it typifies the extremes of both parties, though.
Yes,
I mean, it does. Yeah. Okay, MSNBC, dipping their finger in it one more time. All right, Francis, our little buddy up to some shenanigans again? Is he trying to get Tiger's girlfriend over there?
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, maybe he wants to set up a practice ski run. Kim Jong-un opened a ski resort for the people. For the people, Tony. Hey, they ain't got two pieces of bread to bang together, but they go skiing if they want.
They go skiing.
And the picture, of course, is class. And it will be on the blog accompanying this particular podcast of him riding up the ski lift.
Is it? It's comical.
It's comical, and it's also very telling. He's on the ski lift fully clothed in, you know, the latest ski wear, and without skis, he's just kind of riding the lift. But he's by himself.
Yeah.
No one else on the lift. You can see 10 chairs in either direction. There's no one else on it. That's pretty typical of what's going on in that country.
Yeah.
Because half the people in that country probably couldn't even come up with half the clothing he's wearing, let alone go ski. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They're in the midst of the biggest famine the earth has ever seen, and he's opening a ski lift, which clearly, you know, he's running off the oil of the crushed up bones of his uncle.
Yeah,
who he came out today and said to the people, it was the right decision.
His New Year's Day speech said, this consolidated the country. It's unified the party.
Right.
Because I killed my uncle.
I killed my uncle, right. Right. So,
oh,
see you on the slopes there, Kim.
All right, next.
Let's get hardcore.
And all right, for Hardcore Politics tonight, we're going to talk about something that just happened yesterday, and that is Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor ruling on Obamacare.
Yeah. Well,
we've talked about this several times.
We talked about this case, and I think we talked about, as a matter of fact, our last podcast.
Yeah.
That the Catholic Church won their court case to not have to follow the mandate on Obamacare because it requires them to provide birth control in their policy. So since every policy under Obamacare has to provide birth control, the Catholic Church is absolved from Obamacare. They don't have to do it. So we said that would never stand. You know, it's going to go to appellate court in Brooklyn. They won that case. Then it hit the Supreme Court. This is the fastest the Supreme Court's ever acted, but the law became law today, January 1st. So people are only speculating that she acted so quickly because it was going to become law at midnight.
Right.
So she basically said, no, the Catholic Church does not have to follow the Obamacare mandate. Due to religious exception. That's huge for a lot of reasons.
And so the Obama administration already had made this kind of ruling for churches, right? But she is extending it to social nonprofit organizations.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what this ruling specifically was about, right? Because it was a group of nuns that were running
Sisters
for the Poor or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But she set precedent.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, right.
So the case that's going to be coming up about the hospitals and that they have been, trying to get out from under this mandate, not to mention, it's opened the door for a lot of other people to come in and say, well, hey.
Well, and it continues to build momentum, because we haven't even talked about privately owned businesses yet, which is the Hobby Lobby,
right,
and the Pennsylvania owned company, which I believe is Conestoga Wood Products or something like that. They make dressers. But so they're saying they're private for-profit companies who don't want to have to pay for the birth control thing,
right,
because of religious beliefs.
But the one of the issues there is, if you can't just not pay for the birth control, you know what I mean?
Right.
The way Obamacare is set up, you can't not do that.
Right.
If you don't get a policy with birth control, you're not getting a policy, because they have to have it. That's why so many people are losing their policies when they were told
because
they could keep them.
They don't meet the
standard. So what that means is, her ruling says, well, then they don't have to go into Obamacare because there's no way for them to do that. The standard is not valid. Ultimately, if you boil it down to its legalese, she has said the standard is not valid for people of faith. That's what she's saying, and that's what every lawyer in the country is now sharpening their fucking briefs for. And the other issue I think we haven't really talked about yet is Obama put her on the bench.
Right. You know,
this was supposed to be as all the conservative nut jobs on TV were crying, oh, the court's gone liberal. Oh my gosh, you know, we're going to be this and we're going to be, you know.
Yeah, that's not been lost on me.
Yeah, right. And it didn't work out that way. She sent the White House.
She dropped a hammer and went and dropped the ball.
Yeah, and then 2 hours later, she's in Times Square dropping the ball. Yeah, this is a big deal. I don't think people, you know, it'll unravel more as we get back to normal news cycle here, in the next week.
Right.
And people start unpacking all this, but wow, that's a blow to the White House.
Friday until 9 or something to respond.
Friday 9 a.m. to respond, or they lose.
Yeah.
And they're going to respond, clearly. But it's just another, as I tweeted to you on New Year's Eve,
Francis instantly tweeted me about the ruling. I was so glad to get it.
And I'm sure you were, yeah. but this isn't really just, and I think I said this is another crack in the wall, but
it's
a huge chunk.
Sure.
We're talking about the cracks now in the cornerstone of this bill.
Right.
Because the mandate is what this bill is, right? So, you know, and they've already pushed back the penalty phase, right? The penalty on March 1st.
Right.
They pushed that back a month or 2 months.
Right. It's still being under supported by enrollees. I mean, they're talking about they've got 1.5 million or something now.
But only 200,000 have actually signed up. You know,
you can
register without signing up for a plan, and you know.
Yeah, so they're trying to tout that as success. I mean, it is just becoming a rolling. It's been a rolling disaster since the start.
But it's got so many facets. Unlike the Benghazi or the IRS or the James Rosen scandals that this administration is involved in, those are singular issues, you know what I mean?
Right.
This has got so many tentacles that it can't die down. It can't get pushed to the back burner because another part of it then pops up. I mean, they can't stuff it all back in the bag, and it's like they just can't get away from it. I mean, I'm tired of talking about it, but this is huge. This is a big deal.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
I'm with you. I'm tired of talking about it, but I mean, I'm tired of blogging about it, but I've put another blog post out there because you can't ignore it.
Right. It's not going away.
It's not going away. Right. All right, Fran. Well, you know, being that this is 2014, season 2, we're going to introduce a new bit tonight.
New called, music? We got new music?
We got a new intro bit for it called It's a Conspiracy.
Secrets. Hidden power. You're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
You think you know the whole story?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
All right, so this is our new bit called It's a Conspiracy. It's really not about conspiracy theories about reptiles taking over the Earth or the Illuminati, although we may talk about that at some point in time. We could.
That sounds like fun.
But it really is an opportunity for us to talk about, for example, in our very first podcast, Fran did a very compelling piece about how the Republicans really were favoring John Kerry becoming the Secretary of State because it would open his seat that a Republican then might be able to take. Right. So it was kind of an interesting take on politics that you might not normally expect. So this is really what this segment is about. It's about talking about things in politics that are happening for reasons that we might not suspect. So tonight's topic, and it is, interestingly enough, about John Kerry, and it comes from two comments I heard on the news. And of course, as I've said on this podcast and my blog, I listen to Fox, I listen to CNN, I listen to MSNBC. I mean, I rotate my news channels because we're into politics and I like to get a rounded, you know, opinion. But I was listening to Fox and I heard two conservative comments, one saying that John Kerry was doing a great job as the Secretary of State. And the second comment was that, well, you know, John Kerry's cleaning up Hillary Clinton's mess. And of course, these things piqued my interest because I said, for in God's sakes, Why would a conservative on Fox News on an opinion panel be saying that? Well, let's think about why they might be saying that. Because if you could elevate John Kerry's status as the Secretary of State, which would really be unusual for a conservative to do, but what would that do? That would might indicate, Fran, that Hillary wasn't as a good Secretary of State as people like to think she was.
Yeah, that wouldn't be my first thought.
What would be your first thought?
That they're trying to push him out front because they're afraid of Hillary running for president. You know what I mean? Again, it's the same. It's really, and you referenced
it's the same conclusion.
It's the same conclusion back to trying to get him out of Massachusetts because they could get his seat,
right?
Which they failed to do because the dude couldn't cash in against Elizabeth Warren. But that the result wasn't the issue. They got what they wanted. They got the opportunity to get his seat. This is, we're scared to death of Hillary Clinton in 2016. But if we can talk up John Kerry and make him a prominent figure possibly for that race, maybe he beats Hillary Clinton and we'll whoop him in the general election, which is true.
Well, yeah, I get that. I mean,
and the reason
again,
I say that is because conservatives aren't the only ones doing that.
Well, that's right. I mean, and again, I think we come to the same conclusion through different paths. Yeah. My path is if we can talk about John Kerry being a cleaning up Hillary Clinton's mess, we can make a case that Hillary Clinton really wasn't a very good Secretary of State.
Right.
And then we can roll that into a political campaign to say, because Hillary Clinton, when she was a Secretary of State, she got some press as being a pretty good Secretary of State. Now, the Benghazi thing is a huge bungle.
That's something that
I think is tied into this, that, hey, if we can talk about John Kerry cleaning up Hillary Clinton's mess, we can solidify that Hillary Clinton wasn't a very good leader in that department.
For the purpose of keeping her out of the national race.
Absolutely.
Right. Sure. That's right. And you know, the Benghazi thing happened at the end of her tenure. The silence from the right during her tenure as Secretary of State was compliment enough. Because we talked about it on the podcast.
Sure.
You never heard anyone saying a bad word about her.
Right.
Because they don't want to talk about her because that brings up the job she's doing. Now they're talking about her because they can have to hang something around her neck, and rightly so. I mean, she shouldn't be immune. I mean,
right.
Because she does bear responsibility for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what brings in the liberals. They're also talking up John Kerry because they don't want Hillary Clinton to become the nominee because they're going to hang the Benghazi thing around her neck and she's not going to win the White House.
Right.
So, and I don't know necessarily that's true, but that's got to be their thought pattern, right? And of course, this is all supposition on our part, but
well, it's going to be interesting to
our
track this.
Pretty good.
It's going to be interesting to track this through the year to see what people say about John Kerry, because McCain come out, and McCain and Kerry are kind of old, kind of quasi buddies. McCain come out and he's trashed Kerry as the Secretary of State.
And as I'm surprised I'm even saying this, he's the only one on the money.
Yeah,
I said
right.
this. I can't. God, was that really the first podcast that I did that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and I told you this guy was a walking, you know what?
Yeah.
And nothing he's done has changed my opinion of him as Secretary of State. And John McCain is right in. He must be listening to our podcast. He's right in there saying the exact same things I said.
All right, he's bungling all the big issues.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And so, because McCain don't, you know, say what you want about the guy, he doesn't play that nonsense. He just said he's an old man. He just says what's on his mind,
right?
And he's what he's saying. I think is true. Kerry is not half the Secretary of State that Hillary Clinton was. Her issue is a cover up that she involved herself in, that really doesn't bear on what she was as Secretary of State. She left some people out to dry, and they were killed, and she is trying to avoid the responsibility for it. But that doesn't really speak to all her entire time as Secretary of State. She did a good job at what the Secretary of State's supposed to do. In this issue of Benghazi, she screwed the pooch and she's going to pay for it, as she should. But there's to compare,
right.
You know.
But how do you start to tear her down?
Yeah, this is it. This is the, you know, this is the first part of the peel. You know, it's the only thing they have to grab at for. And granted, it's big enough to grab with both hands because it's a big deal. But to say that he's a better Secretary of State is just, that's utter nonsense. I mean, it's nonsense.
It's absurd, but it's being said. I mean, I heard it on a conservative opinion channel.
Here's the only positive for me out of that whole situation, in that liberals and conservatives are saying it. I think one of the side effects is it's going to keep Benghazi in the forefront.
Right.
That's the only positive out of all this, because it is sliding. I mean, Bret Baier is doing his best on Fox to keep this front and center, but it's not working.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Sliding off the table. And a national campaign that involves this as an issue is going to keep it front and center, and it should. Americans are forgetting about this, and they're making a huge mistake. Four Americans died for no reason, and now they're spinning yarns about it in the New York Times, which we're going to talk about.
And an ambassador died.
Right.
Died.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, and now there's even this nonsense that the New York Times put out there. We're going to talk about later, but
they're really now,
and this is the final move by the administration to push it finally off the cliff and be done be done with it. And so it's, you know, this at least, this nonsense they're pulling with Carroll, at least keep it in the public eye.
All right, Unfiltered and Unfettered's first edition of It's a Conspiracy.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, and it's time for the UFUF Top 5 list. Tonight we're going to talk about, it's a retrospective list. It is 2014.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to talk about 2013's top 5 odd political moments. Top 5 odd political moments from 2013. Fran and I have our separate lists. I'll start out with my number 5.
Okay.
And it's really... Really, Fran, I have a top 4 list, because when you get to 5, there's a whole lot of stuff you could put in there. But my top 5 is just when Obama mixed up Star Wars and Star Trek in his speech, and he referred to the Jedi mind meld. Which, if you've ever watched Fanboys, have you ever watched that movie?
No.
Where it's about Star Wars and Star Trek aficionados basically going to war with each other. I mean, what an egregious error to talk about a Jedi mind meld. So it's really an inconsequential, just funny little thing, but it was my fifth oddest political moment 2013. Fran?
My number 5 is the Chris Christie lap band surgery.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, because we talked about this when it happened, and we kind of were half-heartedly, mean-spiritedly speculating on whether or not they had somehow messed it up or put it in reverse. And then I went to the beach with my wife and kids, and she met Chris Christie on the boardwalk, and she said, "Hey, didn't you all say something about a lap band surgery on your podcast?" You know, she took 1,000 pictures. Right. Yeah.
Not so much.
You know, it must have broke or something. I don't know. But anyway, it was big news because it was the first step in him possibly running for office. He's going to slim down and run for the White House.
Right. All right, my number 4 is September 3rd, John McCain gets caught playing video poker during the Syria hearings. Just an odd little moment, like a longtime senator who was a prisoner of war at a very important hearing.
I mean, whether or not we were going to war with Syria.
Playing video poker on his smartphone. So I thought that was an odd moment. Fran, your number 4?
We were on the same wavelength. My number that was my exact number 4, but I have a backup just for this reason. My backup to that is Kim Jong Un. He declared war on several countries and Austin, Texas. You remember we talked about that in August,
right.
I think, and he listed off all these places he's going to nuke. And instead of saying the United States, he picked Austin, Texas.
Yeah, he did.
That's crazy. He's skiing now, so who cares?
All right, my number 3 is pretty much anything having to do with Rob Ford.
Yeah, that's low-hanging fruit.
We
man.
Like to stick to American politics here, but you can't leave this guy out.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't remember whether he snorted crack because he was hammered drunk.
Right.
This guy's a one-man wrecking crew when it comes to political comedy. So anything having to do with Rob Ford, that's my number 3.
And, I mean, Toronto is a suburb of Detroit, so it's not like...
Well, yeah. You know,
All right, my number 3 is Rand Paul. Yeah, I kind of was liking the guy, and I still do. This really doesn't change it for me, but he plagiarized an article in an op-ed that he wrote, and then another reporter kept looking, and it turns out the majority of the things he's put out publicly since he's been a senator have been plagiarized to, like, verbatim, not even, like, changing a word. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of weird that a guy, I mean, he's not dumb. He's a doctor, and he's gone to school, and he knows that that's...
Kind of a libertarian kind of a guy.
He is,
right?
You know, he is a libertarian. There's no doubt. But so I guess he feels he has the freedom to plagiarize.
To plagiarize.
Yeah. So that's my number 3.
As long as it's not hurting anybody. All right, my number 2 is on November 20th. Catherine Sebelius was in a media event on healthcare.gov. Not only did it crash, but the worker that she was working with said, "That's okay. It'll come back. It happens every day."
There's an old saying in Hollywood amongst some of the huge stars. Never work with kids and animals because they always upstage you.
Yeah.
I guess you can add websites to that list now.
Yeah. Technology, yeah. So that was my number 2 odd moment.
All right, my number 2 was really bizarre. I mean, this one really caught me, and it would be number 1 if not for my love of Star Wars, but So Ted Cruz is walking out of an auditorium where he'd given a speech, and he's asked about his Canadian citizenship by a reporter from a Comedy Central show. And, like, everyone stopped dead in their tracks. And, like, dude, what the hell? He's not Canadian. And Cruz said, well, yeah, I was born in Canada. So he is Canadian. Although he is an American. He's born of American parents in Canada, which by law in Canada makes him a Canadian.
Right.
Doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect his citizenship. He can still be president, which right. is really was the gist of what that guy was going for. But to add to the oddness, Cruz has hired a high-powered lawyer to renounce his Canadian citizenship because the Canadians are saying, look, bro, you can't renounce something that don't really exist.
Right.
You know, yes. you just get it because you were born in the hospital here. So Ted Cruz, Canadian.
Okay, my number one, Anthony Weiner's press conference with his wife.
Again.
Okay. To start off with, and we talked about this on the podcast. Oof. It was just an odd.
Yeah.
It was just an odd thing. It was like she was being held at gunpoint.
That was that
or
was
there was something. It was yeah. very uncomfortable. But to add to it, if you go back and look at the YouTube video, they're doing it in an office somewhere yeah. in front of some cubes. And there's a guy that like is in one of the cubicles, and he keeps photobombing the thing. He keeps peeking over the top of the cube as they're talking. I mean, he finally, at the end, he waved.
I didn't see that. I'll have to go back.
Oh, you got to YouTube it and video it. I mean, it's just odd to the point of creepy, especially when you know what you know about Anthony Weiner and how he's just kind of creepy dude anyways. And
talk about the comedy gift that keeps on giving.
You know, then he's up there with his wife who is, you know, very lovely woman, but you know, so odd in her delivery yeah. and just stilted.
Clearly looked like a POW. I mean, standing up there.
So that's my number one 2013 odd political moment.
He's only gotten more bizarre since this race has ended.
Yeah.
If you see any of his TV appearances, it's crazy. All right, my number one is probably shouldn't. I mean, it's my number one because again, I love Star Wars so much. But you can petition the White House pretty much for anything. They have a website set up for the people. It's called We the People. And you can go on there and make a petition.
You get so many signatures.
They have to respond, right? Yeah. I forget the number. But a petition went up asking the White House to invest in building a Death Star.
Right? Yeah.
So if you don't watch Star Wars, you probably won't get that reference. So go look it up. Within minutes, it got the required number of signatures that required a response from the White House. And they responded. And the guy literally went down and talked about the financial reasons, the moral obligations of why they couldn't build a Death Star. I mean, it was a pretty witty response from the White House. The sad part, the odd part is, within minutes, they had more signees on that petition than Obamacare currently has enrollees. And how long is that? How long has the Obamacare website been up? I mean, it's been, when did we talk about it? In October?
Was
that
yeah. October? Oh, yeah.
So it's been 3 months.
Yeah.
Inside of 3 hours, they had more petitioners than they have assignees now. I mean, you know, build a Death Star, I'm saying. I'm saying they could get it done before Obamacare gets fixed.
Well, they probably could. They could probably get it before they got the website fixed.
Build it.
All right, UFUF top five odd political moments of 2013.
Kidding me?
Are you 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 fucking kidding me?
All right, so tonight's episode of Are You Kidding Me? I'm watching New Year's Eve last night. I'm flipping between the channels, right? Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve with somebody else because he can't do it no more, and a couple other ones. And, well, yeah, that. And but I flip to Fox News, and Bill Hemmer's there with a little sweetheart that was on Survivor, whatever her name is, and
Elizabeth
Hasselbeck, yeah. And Bill Hemmer, he's a talking hairdo. He used to be on CNN. I kind of like him in spite of that, right? But so they go to a interview with Willie Robertson, who's out in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And, you know, they're going to have a big... And, of course,
Who is Willie Robertson?
Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
Right, the son.
The son of Phil Robertson, who, you know, we've all gotten a lot of mileage out of over this holiday season, over his anti-gay comments. Yeah. So they're going to go interview him, right? So Hammer starts saying, so Willie, so tell me about going back to A&E. And, you know, Robertson is like, he's like, well, you know, we're just ready to get on with the show. We're just ready to move on. We're ready to move on. He says move on about four or five times. He said it so much I started mocking him over it. Like, well, we're ready to move on. We're looking forward to next season, ready to move on. Join the show. Well, how do you feel about going back to A&E? Well, you know, we've had a good relationship with them in the past, and we're just ready to move on. We're just ready to move on. So, you know, Hammer's like throwing him these vague softball questions. I mean, the vague snowball questions. They're not even softball questions. And Robertson's just ducking him, right? He just doesn't want to deal with it. And then Hasselbeck comes on. She's already there, but then she asks the wife, hey, how do you feel about what happened? And of course, I'm paraphrasing all this stuff because, you know, I had one or two champagnes. But, you know, Hasselbeck says, asks her the same thing. How do you feel about it? She goes, well, you know, we're just ready to move on, ready to get on with the show. Girls are all good. We're all good. Everything's good. Good, 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 good. We're ready to go. Good, good, good. So, you know, it's like, I mean, it's just laughable. And they go back to him again at some point later and ask him another round of these just kind of ridiculous questions, right? It's like New Year's Eve. This is not hard news time. I mean, are you kidding me? That's bullshit right up front. But then I get up in the morning, turn on the TV, I'm channel flipping, I go to Fox News, they say, coming up, Robertson speak out. So I'm thinking, daggone it, they must have said something, right? I'll be interested to hear this because we blog about it, we do our podcast. They're just replaying the interview from last night in which they said nothing, right? In which he said, we're just ready to move on. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it was just, it's Fox News at its worst. And, you know, we can talk about, we debated news channels on here before and media coverage and everything. It was just, I just thought it was ridiculous. It's like, are you kidding me? Why are you exploiting this?
Well, it's almost like they realized that they may have missed a gravy train. Like, everyone jumped in when it was really fresh and got a lot of miles. We did, you know, we surged.
We got some mileage on it. Yeah,
on our blog, sure. It really surged, right? So everyone got a little piece and maybe they felt like they missed out.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right, so on this New Year's Eve flipping channel vein, I was not watching all night. I was watching football and then just switched over at the last second. Much to my chagrin, I went to Dick Clark, I don't know, coincidence, the Rockin' Eve, and it's not Tucker, it's Carlson somebody.
No, it's the guy that does American Idol, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Isn't it Carlson something?
No, Tucker Carlson's a
not
guy.
Not Tucker Carlson,
Fox.
But it's Carlson something.
I don't know, Fran.
Anyway, another hairdo, right?
So another hairdo.
He's up there, and he has some people on the stage who I don't know, and they're all awkwardly trying to get into his 3 feet of space because this guy is the guy to be around in entertainment, apparently. He's got 95 jobs. And on the ground, they have Jenny McCarthy as a correspondent. Which I'm now air quoting if you can't see.
Love the air quotes.
So the ball starts to fall. This dude's fiance, girlfriend, whatever, is up there with him. It's Carlson something, I know. I can't think of it. Anyway, so they're kissing, right? The other dudes on the stage are awkwardly looking at each other like they don't know what to do. And then they flip to a camera.
Well, Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. Whatever.
Okay.
Carlton, your doorman, whatever. Ryan Seacrest, yeah. So Ryan's up there with his babe. They flip to the camera on the street. And to go to Jenny McCarthy, only she can't speak because her tongue is rammed down this dude's mouth. And you can't really tell who it is. And so Tracy says to me, oh, that's some random dude on the street. I'm like, no. It kind of looks like Donnie Wahlberg. No, it can't be. Well, you never know because in the minute that they were on them, they never, like, she never took his tongue out of her throat.
Nice.
I mean, it was, why are we watching? It was bad enough in the last couple of years with Dick Clark. You know, God bless him.
But God bless him.
But the dude had a stroke. And then when he tried to kiss, they would show him trying to kiss his wife. I'm like, why are they showing that?
Right.
That's just embarrassing, right? And it's hard to look at. Because he can't close his mouth and he can't move his face. And I mean, he's just kind of mashing his face into her.
The guy's an American icon. You really don't want to see him like that.
Right. Why would you degrade him like that? But now we're getting a Playboy centerfold with her tongue rammed down a dude the Backstreet Boys or whatever, Donnie Wahlberg, I don't know.
And, yeah.
And they won't stop. Like, they go back to Seacrest, and he says something, and all the dudes are still milling around, all awkward around him. They go back to Danny McCarthy, and they still got their tongues in each other's mouths. I'm like, are you kidding? Really, bro? I mean, come up for air, for God's sake. You're on live television. They're asking you to say something because it's now a new year. I mean, can't you do that to them at home? I mean, I get the kiss. It's New Year's. Everyone does it. But does she really got to play tonsil hockey right there? I mean, and it apparently went into overtime because there was no let up. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, yet, I couldn't turn away. That was the other problem.
Yeah, right. Well, it was a little bizarre for me because, as I told you earlier, I saw Kimberly Guilfoyle and Bob Beckel, and they were snuggling up together, and that was just a bizarre sight.
That's almost an apocalyptic issue there.
That is, because Bob Beckel's a troll. I mean, as a liberal Democrat, I like him because he tries to make a point.
Yeah.
But Kimberly Guilfoyle is just a drop-dead fox, and to see them together,
yeah,
it is like the Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. All right. Are you kidding me? Politician of the podcast this evening, Representative Daryl Issa, Chair of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
Yeah, Republican from California, Daryl Issa. Look, we talk about Brett Baer trying to keep Benghazi in the limelight, and he's a reporter. He can only do so much. Someone in the government has got to take up this flag, so this does get swept under the carpet, which it clearly, the carpet's lifted and the broom is positioned, like we've talked about. Well, ISA is not letting this go. He's like a dog with a bone on this. New York Times just published a piece over the weekend saying, well, no, it was the video that caused the Benghazi attack, and the group was not tied to Al-Qaeda, right?
Incredibly ridiculous.
And we're face to face now, so yeah. I could see the scornful derision on your face. I didn't even I could tell if you'd seen that what your reaction would have been to that, because mine was the same. So David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times writes this article, and ISIS says that's bull. People don't just spontaneously show up with grenade launchers and rocket RPGs. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen that way. Plus, Kirkpatrick doesn't know what we know. He doesn't have access to the top secret reports that we have. Kirkpatrick answers that on the Sunday shows. And he says, well, we had people there talking to the people while the attack was going on. So that appeared to lend credibility to Kirkpatrick as a New York Times reporter. Well, look, say what you want about ISIS. He's a fire breather. He's a grenade thrower in a political sense. He ain't stupid. Because his first comeback was going to be my first comeback question. If you had people talking to the attackers at the time, why haven't you identified the people who killed 4 Americans?
Right.
You now claim to know the identity of the people who attacked, while the government is saying they are still trying to figure out who did it so they can know who to start dropping bombs on. Yet you claim, David Kirkpatrick, that you know. That was ISIS' first response. And we've not heard a thing from Kirkpatrick now. His Twitter account has not shut down, but it stopped. He's not posting anything anymore. He didn't answer that question when it was put to him by civilians like me. He certainly didn't answer ISIS's rebuttal. Daryl Issa is not... And is he being zealous about it? Yeah, but this is an issue that we need a zealot, because the powers that be have the resources and the time to wait us out. And we're going to be the ones that fall if we let this issue, get swept under the carpet. We need somebody in the government sticking up for it. ISIS is doing that. Think what you want about his politics. I don't care. This guy's doing the deed that we all need him to do. Somebody's got to be held responsible. And it just doesn't appear to be happening, and he's trying to do it.
Well, he's been a pit bull on a few issues.
Right.
I can tell you from
right.
personal experience of things that I'm involved in that he's been a pit bull.
Does he rub people the wrong way? Sure, in his own party. You need to rub people the wrong way on this. People need to be rubbed the wrong way here. Because it's getting away. You can feel it slipping away into the netherworld. We're never going to understand what happened, and no one's going to be held accountable. And this guy's doing his best. Whether he succeeds, who knows? But that's why he's our politician of the podcast.
Daryl Issa, Unfiltered and Unfettered, politician of the podcast.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Yeah.
Our first edition, 2014, Sons of the Apocalypse. And I got to tell you, Francis, I'm going to the serious shit right now. New crop circles in California, my friends. They're about to land. Now, let me tell you. Okay, so they got crop circles in California. This is south of San Francisco, I think, in a... What are they growing down there? I don't know. Some kind of weeds.
Marijuana.
And yeah, marijuana. No one marijuana. No, they wouldn't. You wouldn't destroy a marijuana crop like that. Crop like that. But so they saw some lights, some strange lights over the field. Then a newspaper reporter in a helicopter found the crop circles. Then they interviewed some people that said,
"Oh, really? Newspaper reporters just happened to be in a helicopter looking for crop circles?"
Well, no, they weren't looking for crop circles. They were flying somewhere else, and they saw it in the field. And then they reported on it. But then they interviewed some people that said, yeah, we've seen a lot of people in the area the last couple of days. We actually saw a couple of days ago, we saw some people on ladders out there. So we don't really know what. But if you look for them on the internet, there are some intricate drawings. I mean, I don't get it. Like, it takes a lot of work.
Yes. Well, you know, we might have talked about this back when we were in the military. Yeah. Back when I was working in the eval section, and we were kind of just BSing there when I wasn't doing my job. Because a lot of crop circles have started showing up in England.
Right. Yeah. Right? That's the origin. Right. Yeah.
And so they debunked that after years. These scientists are trying to figure out how this all happened and how the wheat could lay down and not be destroyed. And clearly it was something with a proton style, you know, engine. And this drunk kid got out there and said
something before unknown on the the earthly.
They clearly could knock things down without burning them or destroying them type of thing. And so a guy from a bus says, "No, mate, let me show you." And he goes out and he dragged
like a big tuba four.
Well, he puts on a hat with a ball with a ping pong ball suspended by a string from the bill of the hat, and then he has a 2x4 with a rope on either side, and it through the 2x4 knotted, and so the ball keeps him centered. If the ball moves left or right, he knows he's turning, and so it's almost like flying an airplane. Then he holds the ropes and the 2x4 is under his feet, and he steps on the 2x4 and it presses the wheat down. Right. And he makes these intricate designs by following the ping pong ball. And the scientists still didn't believe it. So, you know, then people start duplicating these things and say, look, it's not hard. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, they're very intricate pieces of art that take a lot of work, but it's not hard. Like, you don't need any special equipment. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You just need a lot of patience is all you need. Right. Or you have a few drinks on board.
They still could be landing zones. Anyways, that's a you know what? I've taken a beating occasionally on some seriously depressing signs of the apocalypse that I've given.
Oh,
so I thought tonight
a beating. That's a beating.
I thought tonight I would come in with some crop circles, some nice calm crop circles.
I'm the one with the doom and gloom tonight.
All right, let's have it.
All right, so my sign of the apocalypse, my favorite prognosticator in the economic kingdom. Is Jim Cramer from was on MSNBC. Now we moved over to CNBC. His prediction rate is god awful.
Right.
It's god awful. I mean, it's biblically god awful. I mean, it's just horrible. So he says, economy's poised for recovery. Let me tell you something, people. If that isn't a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is. When Jim Cramer says something's going to recover, it's clearly going bankrupt. So now he's tagged our entire economy. So if it goes belly up, blame Jim Cramer. He has brought this apocalypse upon us.
He took some personal flack for leading some people down the wrong path a couple years ago.
We talk about Jon Stewart a lot, hiding behind this, "I'm a comedian." Jon Stewart took him to task 3 nights in a row for that. And it got personal. I mean, it got real personal. And Cramer responded to it. Yeah. And he's taking some heat. He's just bad at predict. Like, if you've ever seen his show, it's bizarre.
Well,
you know, I mean, he has a lot of sound effects machines and stuff.
That was my take when Stewart was taking him to task. Like, have you seen his show? And you're blaming him because your aunt made a bad investment or your grandmother or whatever.
Well, because he is a qualified investor and a broker, and so he gives out economic advice, serious economic advice. He just does it like a carnival barker.
Right.
And so it's not like his advice isn't serious. He just does it in a funny way to keep people interested because it's a boring topic. So, for most people.
Right.
For most people. So, And he's just horribly bad at his job. That's the other issue.
Yeah, yeah.
He don't have the minus touch, if you know what I'm saying.
All right, Crop Circles and Jim Cramer.
Yeah.
Tonight's 2014, first out of the gate, Signs of the Apocalypse. No death and destruction tonight. All right, Fran, bring in season two.
Yeah, what have we decided on?
Episode 1. Well, it's episode 29. Well, I think we need to keep a running tab on our number of episodes, because each episode is a personal victory that we've actually done something for this. So to say season two, episode one.
Yeah.
It's not as significant as saying it's still episode 29. So, I don't know the protocol.
Yeah, because at first blush it would say that's the 29th episode of season two. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we're all about accuracy here.
We are
our
nothing
research staff
if not about accuracy.
Goes to great lengths to be accurate.
That's right. Even though they've once or twice maybe missed the boat, but pretty much they're on. You're on track. We'll figure that out.
If by missed the boat you mean completely fabricated things, then yes, they've missed the boat.
We will figure that out. So, but it is season two. As a matter of fact, we'll be coming up soon on our first year, which sounds odd, but we were going by the calendar year, but we started in January 25th,
right.
I believe it was.
Right, that's right. Very good.
So we'll be coming up on our first year. And that's a significant date for me. That's my oldest son's birthday. It's also the date in 1999 when I quit smoking. So it's January 24th. Wow. Is hard for me to forget.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So episode two, or season two, episode 29, or episode one, however you want to look at it, is coming to a close. It's been a great episode. 1/1/2014. The date I'm looking forward to this year, of course, is 12/13/14.
You and these numbers,
because it just gets me, man.
Yeah.
My favorite was 11/11/11, but we're beyond that now.
We'll have another show about why these things are your favorite.
I have no idea. But all right, Fran, great job tonight. Enjoyed it. There have been some seriously fun reads on Frank's Place.
Thanks, yeah.
So I
met a fan the other night. It was a little bizarre. But,
is that right?
Yeah, I was at a reception, wedding reception. It was the Who's Who in Knoxville. Mayor was there. Dr. Bob, if you've ever seen Dr. Bob on TV, he was there. He's a local doctor. And this girl ran right past both of them and said, "You write Frank's Place." And I literally was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. And she just couldn't say enough, gushed. And, LT, if you're listening to the podcast, it was nice to meet you. And, yeah, that was a weird experience.
Well, great. All right. We'll be back next week with episode two of season two. So stay tuned for that. Again, we enjoy every listen. Thanks for tuning in. We enjoy every listener we have. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the next go-around. Elise, please take us out.
Thanks, Tony and Fran, for getting us unfiltered and unfettered.